Christian liberty. The issue that was with Christian liberty that we see is there was those in that day that still meet. We understand that the meat wasn't anything there. It was man-made gods and those that there. So we can go ahead and meet. And Paul says, yes, you have the right to eat the meat because it was this. You're mature enough. But he says the problem is this. There are other ones that were saved out of that that haven't matured to the level that you are at that struggle with this against their conscience, and this causes them to fall. And you not to be a stumbling block, as Paul uses. You're not to be a stumbling block to those other believers. They may be weaker than you, but you still have a responsibility to try to help them, not hinder them in the Christian walk with God. And Paul says, even to the point that if it would help someone, I will never eat meat again. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing to come with for me. I know Brother Rich would struggle with that, to say he would never eat meat again. Brian be in the same boat there as well. Never eat meat again. All right? But Paul was willing to do that. But there are some in that day that still struggled with that concept of why I would have to give up something to help someone else. Well, the concept is this. We're to what? Help one another grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what? Honestly, in the light of eternity, do you know giving up meat's not going to really be that big of a deal in light of eternity? I know it'll be a struggle for some, but it will not be that big of a deal. Do you know there's certain other things that we say is our right and we do have the right to do that maybe it'd be better that we don't do to help someone else grow? Now, again, we looked at the other side of that. People say, well, if you don't do exactly what I want to do, you're a stumbling block to me. Well, that's the reverse side, and we talked about that as well when we looked at 1 Corinthians 8. We can't use that as well because you're saying that you're weaker then, and you're not mature enough to be able to handle those certain things. Now, I'm not talking doctrine. I'm talking certain things that come to preferences and that's given there. Because even Paul said this is a preference. This is not something that would be a doctrinal issue. Because if it was a doctrinal issue, then no one could eat the meat. He said this is not a doctrinal issue. This is a preference area and not be a stumbling block. I gave the illustration when we were in 1 Corinthians 8 and looked at this. Is there are some, even today, but back 20 years ago, it was even bigger, that the whole idea is ladies should not never wear pants. All right? I believe that is a preference issue. That's not a doctrinal issue. All right? And so the idea is this. So if that was a doctrinal issue, then if a lady wore pants, it would be sin. But this is a preference issue. Now, I do understand there are some people that are on both sides of that issue. And this is where you have to use your Christian liberty and make sure it's not going to cause someone else to fall or to stumble. The other illustrations in regards to music. All right? I know a lot of individuals have different views of music. All right? Now, I do believe there's some biblical principles for music that we should have. All right? But I believe there's some preferences in regards to that. Even in our Christian circles today, there are some preferences that's given. There's some music even that is produced out of where Caleb goes to school, West Coast, that some people don't always agree with that music. Some of you remember Ron Hamilton. Our hymn books are from Ron Hamilton, Patch of Pirate. I remember growing up, some of the Patch of Pirate CDs. I remember people didn't like some of the music. The Mississippi River Race one was one that was great controversy. Then some of you go, I have no clue what you're talking about. Look up Patrick Pirate and all his CDs there. And it was there. But some of that is not doctrine. It's preferences that's given there. And what the idea is this, is you don't do something. Now, if someone has a struggle with that, I'm not purposely going to blast certain music around them because I don't want to lead them back to their old lifestyle, lead them back to that place that's going to affect them. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, I can do without that if that's going to help you in your Christian life. Now, he goes a step further, though. That's chapter 8. Again, remember, there's no separation in Scripture. It goes from one right into the other. Because now he goes into chapter 9. And what he says in chapter 9 is he continues his train of thought with a personal illustration. Paul lists in this chapter the rights or privileges that were his as an apostle that he was able to claim as a servant of the Lord. He's going to give some illustrations, and he's going to say, here's the illustration. I'm going to take my life. I'm going to illustrate this to you. As an apostle, as a servant of the Lord, there are some things that I can claim. There are some things that I can do. There's some things that are my benefit that I can partake of. But I choose not to because my heart is for the church of Corinth, and I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder the church of Corinth to grow. Now, he's going to deal with that of being taken care of financially from the church of Corinth. Now, we do know Paul never received anything from the church of Corinth. We understand that Paul and Barnabas, they worked and they did things. They didn't receive this. But he says, I have all the right to receive financial support from this church. But I choose not to because I want this church not to be a stumbling block to this church. Now, Paul did receive money from other churches. He did receive money from other individuals to help support. He did work another job. He did do those things. And he's saying, I want to give you some reasons why it was okay for me, it would be okay for me to do this. And he even goes further on. We're not going to get to today. He says, even God's law says this is what you need to do for God's man serving. But he says, I want you to understand, even though I had all these rights to do this, I chose not to because I want the best for this church at Corinth. And he believed for some reason, if he were to partake of money from the church of Corinth, this would somehow cause issues in the church and be a stumbling block to some of the weaker people in the church of Corinth, and they would not grow the way they ought to grow. And so this is where we're going to enter in this morning. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleships are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brother of the Lord in Cephas? Or I only in Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we ask as we look at your word this morning, you would illuminate your scriptures to us. And Lord, help us to glean the principles, the truths you want us to glean. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, at first sight, this chapter seems quite disconnected from what's going before this, but it's not. The whole point here is this idea of this Christian liberty, and the Corinthians who thought they were mature thought they could do what they pleased and it didn't matter about anyone else. And Paul says, let me give you this as plain as I can give this to you. And there was even those in that day that questioned who Paul was. And does Paul have the right to say what he says? Does Paul have the right to tell this church at Corinth? Does he have the right to tell this church at Corinth that you can go without meat? Now, I could just imagine. I go to some of you in this church, and say, Brother Rich, as pastor of this church, I'm telling you, you can't eat meat anymore. I knew you were going to say that. But Brother Rich is going to say, too bad, and he's going to ask me this question. Who has given you the right to tell me that I can't eat meat? And my answer is going to be, God has given me that right to tell you you can't eat meat. Now, God has not given me that to tell you can't eat meat. But this is the idea, because now we go into verse 1 of chapter 9. And the idea is, all right, this is what's supposed to be done. Who are you to tell us? And Paul goes and he starts to give an explanation of who he is and why he has the right to do this. He's given the reasons there. There are several reasons. In the first verse, he gives the reasons by asking questions. Now, he's not seeking to get answers to those questions. He's causing them to think in their minds themselves. You know what I'm saying? How many have ever had a teacher ask a question and then you blurted out an answer and she goes, no, you weren't supposed to answer that out loud. You're supposed to think about that. All right? This is what Paul is saying. I'm going to ask some questions to get you to think about who I am and what authority I have. Because Paul wanted them to realize the authority that he was given this is from the Lord himself. And the reason he's giving this is to help the church grow and help those weaker brothers and sisters in Christ grow. He says in verse number 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not an apostle? Do you know, it blows my mind to think there are some that question the apostleship of Paul. How could you question Apostle Paul? I mean, if you've been around long enough and you saw some of the things that you can see in scriptures that they lived through and they saw how God blessed and how God used Paul in different avenues in different ways. They saw when he would give messages, if you will, or if he gave letters, it was inspired by God, given by God. He would give this message, but they questioned who Paul was. Do you know, we're living in a day and age where people are questioning all authority. They're questioning things. You know why? Because, wait a second, you're telling me I can't do something that I want to do, and now you think you have the right to tell me this. Who do you think you are to tell me that the Bible says this? Who do you think you to tell me that I can't go to this and be a part of this activity? Who do you tell me? How many of you ever had your kids tell you? No, don't raise your hand. But you've had your kids tell you, who do you think you are? You say, well, my kid's perfect. They never question anything. Oh, yeah, right. Lying lips are an abomination, Brian. All right. But no, who has the right? Paul says, am I not an apostle? Why are you questioning who I am? I am an apostle. What's an apostle? An apostle is one that has seen Christ. Apostles were a very select group of men that met certain qualifications. Apostle means messenger, one sent forth with orders. He was the Lord's apostle commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles. All right, that's an apostle. He's one that has a message, and he's to take the message to the Gentiles. He's to take that message to them. That's what an apostle does. He takes the message, but what's the verification that he's an apostle? Because we have some today that say they're apostles. I don't believe we have apostles today. Because the verifications, according to Scripture, of what an apostle is and who is an apostle. First, he had seen the Lord. All right? I don't believe there's anyone that's alive today that has seen the Lord. Because you would have to be about 2,000 years old. All right? All right? I know Rich is close to that. Rex is a little closer, but I don't think any of you have met 2,000 years, all right? And this is the idea. An apostle is one that's seen the Lord. You say, well, when did Paul see the Lord? He didn't see the Lord. He saw the resurrected Lord at least 3 times in his life that's recorded in Scripture. Because there are some that say, well, Paul wasn't an apostle because he wasn't during the earthly ministry of Jesus. He wasn't with Jesus during the earthly ministry. He might not have been during that time, but there's 3 times after he saw Christ, the resurrected Lord. That is a qualification, a verification that he is an apostle because he has seen the resurrected Lord at least 3 times. The other qualification is in regards to an apostle had to be an eyewitness of Christ and his resurrection. All right, not only that he saw Christ, but he saw what took place. He saw what happened. Paul was there and he saw Christ and he saw the resurrection of Christ. All right, not only did he was there and saw Christ, but he saw what took place and what happened. Again, there's no one that's seen Christ in this room or in this world for that matter. And there's no one that saw the resurrection of Christ take place. That's an apostle. But Paul says, am I not an apostle? Paul says, I am an apostle. Paul says, I am an apostle because I have seen Christ. I have witnessed the resurrection of Christ. I have witnessed those things. And we can give you scripture of that. And you can look in Acts chapter 1. You can look at Acts chapter 9. You can look at some other scriptures. That's what an apostle is. And Paul says, I'm an apostle. I have the right to what I'm going to give you. I have the right to my freedom and my liberties and to do certain things. But I want you to understand who I am. I'm an apostle to tell you the things that I'm telling you. I have the right to tell you that you need to not be a stumbling block to another believer. I have the right to tell you you need to be careful what you're doing so you don't sear someone else's conscience and you help someone else grow in the things of God. But I also want you to see, secondly, in verse 1, am I not apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? We see the second thought here, am I not free? Paul states his own rights and freedoms. He says, just as you have rights and freedoms, I, Paul, have rights and freedoms. Now, I want us to understand this morning, we all have rights and freedoms. We have freedom because of what? Of Christ. He has set you free. He has made you free. We have freedoms. Now, even in America, we have some freedoms. I understand we are nervous, at least some of us are nervous about some of the freedoms that we have and what's going to happen to some of those freedoms throughout this world and what's going to take place and even with the next election coming up and what those there are certain things happening and doing. But let me tell you, Paul says, I have all the freedoms, I have all the liberty, I have everything that you have. I can do what I want to do because I'm saved just as you're saved, and I can do those things. I had my conversion at the road of Damascus, Paul said. There was a time in my life when I was crucifying Christians, but there was a time that God met me, God saved me, God changed me, and I was never the same. I became Saul, I was Saul, and I became Paul. There was a great change in my life. And I have all the freedom that I have to be able to live and do what I want to do. I have my Christian liberty just as you have your Christian liberty. I have my freedom just as you have your freedom. That's what Paul was saying. He goes, am I not free? Oh, he was free. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we say, well, I should be able to do what I want to do. I should be able to eat meat because I'm American. And as American, we love our meat. I mean, just think about it. How many remember the commercials? Where's the beef? All right? We love our meat. How many have gone to restaurants and you've seen steaks like this thick? Now, you never bought them because you couldn't afford them, but you saw them that thick, right? And you drool over those type of things. And you see those type of things. Why? Because it's our freedom to be able to eat that. I'm glad we don't worship cows here, all right? I'm glad we can go ahead and use cows the way they were meant to be used, all right? That joke was sad, by the way. And that deserved a moo, not a or kind of a boo-moo there, all right? And we could eat that. We could eat that meat. I'm glad we can have that. I'm glad we can do this, and I have the freedom to do this. I'm glad I have the freedom today to eat food in my house and choose what I want to eat, and I have the freedom to be able to bring food here and eat food here. But as much as I have the freedom, as much as I have the rights, Paul says, I am free, but I want you to understand, I'm an apostle. I want you to understand, I've seen Christ. I've seen the resurrection of Christ. I've seen those things. Who I am, this is the authority I'm stating this on. I'm free just as you're free. Paul's asking questions to get him to consider this before he goes into the illustration of what he's trying to get him to see. Then he says this, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? The third was the Corinthian believers themselves. The reason he gave this and he says I can do this is because you, Corinthian believers, prove who I am and the authority I have. The church at Corinth was one of the fruits of Paul's his leadership, his labors. That's given there. The church Corinth was the seal of his apostleship in the Lord. He says, what this church is my seal. That day they used seals to confirm things and say, this is true. It was on containers of merchandise, and they were used to indicate the authenticity of the trueness, the genuineness of what it is. And Paul says, you're my stamp of approval of who I am. What God has done in this church of Corinth and the fruit that's shown, you, church of Corinth, is proof of who I am and who I'm serving and who has given me the authority to do what I'm doing. Because what I'm presenting to you and the message that changed your life is not my message as Apostle Paul, but it's a message from God. And God has used that message to change your life. And by you coming to God, by your life being changed, you're a seal of who has sent me. And he says, I've been sent from God. I've been sent from that. Are not ye my work in the Lord? My work in the Lord. Paul says, not just my work, but my work in the Lord. And I think that is important that we stop there for a moment. Because Paul wanted the church at Corinth to realize Paul was not going through and doing this work in and of himself. He was doing the work in the Lord. This is the Lord's work. I think many times in our churches, we start to get this concept, this is our work. I know what we mean, but how many of you have ever said, this is our church? This is our ministry? This is our, and we put it there. Do you know in reality, this is not our church? This is the Lord's church. Now, I know what we mean. Do you know this is not our ministry, it's the Lord's ministry? And again, I know what we mean by that. But I think what's happened is a lot of times we have put ourselves and said, this is ours. This is what I'm doing. This is my Sunday school class. This is my, and put whatever area of service you're at. Wait, no, it's the Lord. And Paul says, you're proof, Church of Corinth, that I'm doing the Lord's work in the Lord, working what the Lord wants, because God has given the results and the changes in your lives. He says, it's seen. The proof is in the pudding. It's right there. It's given right before you. And then, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. He's saying just as you're sealed in the Lord, that's the seal of my apostleship. You see, you're sealed in the Lord, Church of Corinth. And because you're sealed in the Lord, that's the seal of my apostleship. Now, what does this mean? I want to spend a couple minutes on this morning. What does it mean to be sealed in the Lord? We have to understand that we are born a sinner. Most of us in this room know we're born a sinner. Most of us in this room know that we're born in the need of salvation. That's why Jesus Christ came. He died, he rose again, third day, to offer the only way of salvation. And the Bible says that we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There must be a time in life where we repent by faith, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive his free gift of salvation. When we receive the free gift of salvation, The Bible says, we which were dead are now quickened or made alive in Christ Jesus. Also, what happens when we get saved, and we use that term, and sometimes I think we use it too loosely, but when we receive Christ, when we accept that gift, and when Jesus Christ saves us and comes in and lives within us, when we get saved, what happens? We are quickened, we're made alive, but we're sealed unto the day of redemption. That means we are sealed. That means God has put his seal upon us. That means no man can pluck us out of the hand of God because I'm sealed by God. That means I have eternal life, but I also have eternal security. I can never lose my salvation. It's forever and ever and ever, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. And no man can take away my salvation. I can't take away my salvation. I cannot lose my salvation. I can't do anything to get rid of my salvation. I can't even walk away from my salvation if I'm truly saved, because no man can take it away from me. Because I've been sealed by God, by the Holy Spirit. I've been sealed. This is what it means. Paul says, you've been sealed, church. Believer, you've been sealed by God and sealed in the Lord. And this is a, just as you're sealed, my apostleship is sealed because of your life and you being sealed. Look with me in verse number 3. Paul now says, okay, here's my authority. Here's the questions I gave you in verse 1. But now Paul is going to give his defense. All right? Paul is giving these individuals, he's giving them the reasons there. And he's saying, okay, here's the reasons why. And now I give you the reasons why. Here's my defense. My answers to them that do examine me is this. All right. The word answer is a verbal defense. It's not just Paul is saying, I'm going to give you, and I'm just going to casually tell you some things. This is the idea. This word answer here is, this is, I am going to let you know, I'm going to lay it all out. I'm going to defend myself with these answers, because you, church, needs to understand what my answers are. I'm not going to make any qualms about it. I'm going to be clear cut, and I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to get directly to it. And I'm going to lay it out for you. Now, I know in our day and age, people get upset if we try to defend ourselves. Oh, if you just handle it the way God wants you to handle it, you'll never have to defend yourself. You don't have to get upset about things. And you can just, let me tell you, the Apostle Paul defended himself. When he was attacked about spiritual things, when he was attacked about godly things, when he was attacked about things that God has given him the message to give and send, Paul took no qualms about it. He defended the truth. We, you know, we need to live in a day and age where we will be ready to give a man an answer to every man that asketh it. Every man that asks a question, be ready to give an answer to him that ask. The word answer means, I need to defend my faith. I need to stand for truth. I need to be able to give an answer and say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. This is what His Word says, and I want you to see the truth of it. Now, I'm not saying to defend yourself. If someone tears your character apart, you know what? That's on them. You know what? If someone says, and I believe this or not, I've had people attack me in my character. All right? I know that's hard for you to understand because I'm such a wonderful, loving person all the time and perfect. I know that's hard for you to understand. Some of you are laughing a little bit. Rich, get right with God. But I'm not to defend myself. Who am I supposed to defend? The name of my God and the message that God wants us to hear. And this is what Paul's saying. I'm going to answer you. I'm going to give you that verbal answer. And I'm going to defend it because you need to see this. Who's he going to give this answer to? He's going to give the answer to those. Look at verse 3. My answer to them that do examine me is this. That word examine means to investigate thoroughly. Now, some of you remember back in the old days how they used to interrogate people. Now, this day and age, far as we know, interrogation is a little different. Those that probably are part of military and other things may know more than we know, and that's fine, and that's understandable. But back in the old days, if I wanted to get an answer out of somebody, they would go through what is called an interrogation process. And they would go through this interrogation process, and they would come to somebody. I won't pick on you. They would come to somebody, and they would interrogate them. Now, they would do certain things to interrogate them. And you see, if they wanted an answer to someone, they could take someone's ear like this, and they could start twisting it, right? Now, that's even a nice thing to do. But they would interrogate. It means to examine, to scrutinize. That means to put pressure upon a person. And he says, there are those that I'm going to give my answer to. I'm going to defend myself because there's those that are trying to examine, those that are trying to rip apart my ministry, those that are trying to rip apart the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's those that are coming against, that are trying to cause division in the church and cause problems with the new believers. And I want you to understand, I'm not going to stand for it. That's what Paul said. Do you know what? This morning, I want us to get this morning. Those today that are trying to examine, trying to investigate, trying to interrogate, trying to split apart and try to find fault in God's church this morning. There are those that are trying to find and cause problems and cause things. And let me tell you, as Paul said, I'm not going to allow this. I'm going to defend this. I'm going to stand true to God. And I'm not going to let someone come in and tear apart the name of our God and the testimony of our God. As the pastor of this church, I would do everything within my power and the authority given to me by God to stand and not allow anyone to come in and bring disunity and cause problems within the church. That's what Paul said. I'm going to give an answer. I'm going to defend. I'm going to do this to those who examine. Paul's critics were not sparing him pain in examining him. Paul's critics would even put pain upon him to be able to get their way. How many have ever done that, or your kids have done that to you? Or certain things, they would cause, do certain things that would even cause you grief and pain. And their sole goal was somehow to twist your arm to get their way of doing things. And this is what Paul said. There are those, even within the church. Because who's he addressing? He's addressing the Corinthians, the church at Corinth. He's not addressing those outside the church. He says, there's those within the church that are examining me and are questioning what I'm doing. Do you know what has happened in churches today? Now, I'm not saying a pastor's infallible. I'm not saying the pastor never makes mistakes. I'm not saying the pastor never does everything they're supposed to do, not do what, and all that's there. A pastor's a human, just like Rex, all right? They make mistakes. They do things they're not supposed to do. Well, not as much as Rex. But what he's saying is this. You're trying to cause this issues and examine and to put pain upon this and cause problems in the church, and I'm not going to allow it. Look at verse 3. My answers to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not the power to eat or drink? Don't we have the right to financial support? That's what Paul's saying as apostles. Talking about him and Barnabas. He says, don't we have the right to eat and drink? Don't I have the right as an apostle? Don't I have a right as a free man? Don't I have the right as those that have the seal of God upon their ministry? Don't I have the right, those that seen Christ and seen the resurrection of Christ? Don't I have the right to eat and to drink? Don't I have the right to support? Don't I have the right to those things? He says, have we not the power to lead a sister or a wife, as well as other apostles and as brethren of the Lord and Cephas? He says, don't I have the right to financial support? Don't I have the right to even be supported if I had my sister, if I had a wife, if I had other family with me? The other apostles, they have this right. The other apostles, they're financially supported. The other apostles, the other disciples, the other individuals that are serving God and left and follow God, they're supported by this church and they're supported by that church and they're supported by this individual, and these individuals sold land and gave it, and this gave and this gave and was able to give them so they could continue the ministry of Christ. He says, you know what? I have the right. I have the freedom. I have that. I should be able to eat. I should be able to drink. I should be able to purchase this house. I should be able to do these things. I should be able to have the support of this church. Now again, as we started off, remember, I don't believe Paul took anything from Corinthians. But I do believe there's others that support him, and he did have his job. But he's saying this, church at Corinth, there are some things here that I have the right to. I have the right to those things. You know, I should be able to take a family. Now I do believe Paul was widowed. I share this early on in 1 Corinthians. I believe that Paul was married at one time. I believe Paul lost his wife. And exact timing and all that, we talked about that a little bit in the message before. If you want to, you can go back and listen to that. But he was. But at this point, Paul says, remember in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, hey, if you have to marry, marry. But if you can stay single, stay single. And devote your life to the ministry. All right? And he says this, but don't I have the right, if I wanted a wife, if I wanted to bring a family member along, if I wanted this, I have the right to be able to support them, and the church would be financially there to support them and take care of them in the ministry. Do you know, I understand this can be a touchy subject, but he's even going to give later on God's law of taking care of God's man. And taking care of this. I think we do need to support pastors, missionaries, evangelists, those doing the work. Do I believe that a pastor's beyond working a job? No, I don't. I honestly think we're going to be coming in a day and age where every pastor is going to have to work another job. But the problem is this. When you have to work another job, you do this. What does it do? It takes away from what you're supposed to be doing. Now, again, I don't think it's wrong. There's churches that pastors work. And there's those type of things. That's fine. And Paul even addresses, hey, you need to take care of those in the ministry. You need to take care of those. But Paul was in a spot he didn't have to be taken care of, so he could do without their support at this church, so he could fully focus on that. I tell you, I would love to be at a point that I wouldn't have to take pay. So if some of you have $1 million in a bank account, Rex, give it to me and so I cannot take a check from the church. That would be wonderful. And do that. You could write that today, by the way. Rich, you could write your $2 million check there. And this is, but as we get this, as we see this, I want us to understand this. Have we not the power to eat and drink? Have we not the power to lead about a sister or a wife? As well as other apostles, and as the brethren of our Lord and Cephas, or I only, Barnabas, have not the power to forbear working. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Paul goes on. And he starts to explain this. He gives three illustrations in verse 7. He talks about the soldier fights during the day and works at night in order to eat, buy clothes, and have a place to stay. The farmers don't plant a vineyard without being paid. They don't farm for free and then do work at night to make a living. Shepherds don't work for free either. He gives those illustrations of the soldier, of the farmer, of the shepherd. And he says, all of them do it, and they all get recompense for their work. They all get paid for their work. He says, all right, I have the right to do this. I have the freedom to do this. And this is even some illustrations. I gave you some questions, and now I'm going to give you the answer. And as I give you the answer, I'm giving you these other illustrations because you have no problem with this person taking pay. You have no problem with this person taking pay. You have no problem with this person taking pay because this is what is common. This is what's customary. This is what's acceptable to do. And just as they're able to take pay, I, as an apostle, I, as a minister of God, have that ability to take it. All three types of these workers are paid for their work. It's customary, rightful, and expected thing. Now, as he's stating all this, he's leading this up, and then next time, we're going to get into where he even gives God's law in this. He's leading this all up to them to realize, let them see, this is what I could do because of all the things that we looked at this morning. But he's going to say, but I chose not to do it. And he's going to give the reasons he chose not to do it. And this all serves as a bigger illustration. Going back to chapter 8, it says, you can eat the meat, but you're not to be a stumbling block. I'm not going to eat it. If I'm going to cause brothers, I'll refrain from it. But I want you to see I'm actually practicing what I'm telling you to do in my life. I'm glad for examples of Apostle Paul and others in Scripture. You know, they didn't just say this is what you should do. They lived it out in their life. Do you know what we need to do in our lives today? A lot of times we'll say, well, I should be able to do whatever I want to do. No, we need to live in a way that points people who? To Christ. And I need to say, okay, not just for you to do so, but I need to do it in my life. Well, Dave, you're not to be a stumbling block. Rex, you're not to be a stumbling block. But guess what? I'm not. And I need to make sure that I am, what I'm telling you to do, that I'm illustrating it, doing it in my own life. And Paul was not saying he was perfect, but Paul was saying, here, let me give you the illustration. I could take this. I could be supported from you. But I've chose not to, because that might hinder someone that's weaker in the church. Let me ask each of us this morning to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves. Is there certain things in our lives that we claim as our freedom, claim as our liberty, that really don't matter in light of eternity? That really is not going to matter. But we are so staunch that we got to be able to do this, and we got to be able to have this, and we got to be able to, that we don't realize the harm we're causing to someone else. Because you know what the whole idea behind this is? I'm to love my brother and sister in Christ more than I love myself. I ought to love Brother Wade. Now this is a hard one right here. I don't pick on Wade often, but this is coming really good here. I ought to love Brother Wade, which is hard to do. I mean, just very hard to do. But I love Brother Wade more than I love myself. And if that means that I have to do without something so Brother Wade can grow closer to God, guess what I need to do? I have to love him more. You know what? If that means I need to give up something, then I give up something. Because what do I want more than anything? I want to see Brother Wade grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And this was what Paul was trying to get him to see. Do you know, I ought to love, and I know I pick on Rich a lot. But do you know what? I ought to love Rich more than I love myself. that if Rich needs something to help him grow, and I'm doing something that is negative against him, that I change it. Why? Because what I'm doing is bad? No. What I'm doing is probably not even bad. But if it's hindering him, what should I do? I ought to love Rich more than I love myself and my rights, my abilities, my ability to do what I want and see Rich grow. Do you know, I ought to love Nathaniel more than I love myself. I ought to love everyone in this room more than I love myself. Because what should my goal be? Is to see everyone grow. Now, what we do is this. Well, yeah, we're to love them, but I still have my rights. And I know people use other things. Well, you can't do that because it goes against me and against this. You got to be careful on both sides of that, okay? But I ought to love people more to realize what really matters in life. And I want to just be honest this morning. I think we've missed it this morning. I think we've missed it. I think what we think really matters in life doesn't really matter. I think many of us have put certain things on a pedestal, if you will, and we've said that matters. And that's going to be where I'm at. Now, again, we know people can use it to the other extreme, and we got to be careful of that. But you know what matters today, this morning? It's not some of the things that we think are important. You know what matters? So we come together as a church. Maybe not agreeing on every preference, but we come together as a church and we work through some of those difficulties. We work through some of those trials. We work through those things and we find a unity to bring us together. And we realize, guess what? There's some things really that don't matter. Do you know there's sometimes you as a husband, you as a wife, you as a parent have gone without things so your kids could succeed? How many have done that before? How many of you gone out without certain foods so your kids could eat certain things? And you've gone without clothing so your kids could have clothing. You've gone out without different things in your life. Now, I would say Rex has gone out without having his hair done, but he has someone that takes care of that for him. He even gets facials, by the way. And so those there. He's a guinea pig. I won't tell about the other one. Poor guy. Got to pray for Rex. But we can go without things. Can we not? Do you know, how many of you have gone hungry this past week? Well, you've chose to go hungry. Why? Has anyone not had anything to eat this last week? Now, is it what you wanted to eat this last week? That's a whole different ball game, all right? Because some of you had to eat certain items that you normally don't care to eat because that's what you had in the house. How many been there before? How many of you didn't really want that can of beans, but that's what was in the cupboard, and so you ate the can of beans. And you put a little cheese over it, and you called it gourmet, right? But in light of eternity, does it really matter that you ate a can of beans every day this week? 10 years down the road, are you even going to remember that? Your wife may, but you might not. Some of you got that. A Dave joke just came out. But the idea is this. What can we give up so we can see someone else grow? Where can you put yourself down so you can lift up the name of the Lord? That's what we need to do. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you.